Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie, and thank you, Ramona. I had a doozy of a time writing this sermon, I tell you what. Man. And I know the preachers out there know what it's like when you get stumped on that text and you're just really trying to figure out what to say. It was one of those weeks for me, and so much so that I called Sarah, when was that? Friday, I think. I called her, just really wrestling through it, and I said, you know, hey, crack open your Bible and look at Psalm 128. By the way, that's where we're going to be at, so go ahead and why don't you do that? And I said, read it, tell me what you think. And she said, well, you know, these are a few things that stood out to me, but I mean, it's nothing groundbreaking, but I mean, here's this and this, and she named two or three things, and she said, but honestly, I know, I mean, you've probably already thought through that stuff, so, and I said, actually, no, none of that, so, but all of it is right, and now that you say that, wow, I think you're so right, and so now I had to completely rework my sermon where I was going, because God uses my wife in powerful ways to teach me, so I was thankful I made that call, because I think tonight is better for it. My Friday afternoon wasn't, but Sunday night is. One of those difficult texts. Luckily, next week is going to be so much easier. I'll be preaching on Psalm 129, one of those prayers cursing people, so that'll be really easy too. Show up next week, it'll be fun. Psalm 128 is what we're going to be looking at tonight, and I really do mean it. I think the text, the word that we're going to be looking at tonight is a good one, and ultimately is a great comfort to us. And so with that said, would you stand? I'm going to read it, and if you have the copy of God's word in your hands, if not, it'll be on the screen, but you can follow along as I read aloud. This is what the word of God says. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord blesses you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Amen. You can be seated. The theme of tonight, as Debbie already said, and as was pretty clear in the text, we're going to be looking at blessings of this life. Blessings in this life. The problem, though, that we're going to be really looking at as we go through that theme, which is so evident throughout the text, the problem we'll face is that you and I both know blessings don't come universally, and they don't come evenly to all people, do they? So that's a problem that we're going to have to wrestle through in this text. I think about So Sarah has always said, all through the time of us dating and being married, that I'm a sweet talker. Is that, I think, what you coined it as? I'm a sweet talker. I can kind of talk my way through things, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the preacher element of me. I don't know. But I can always sweet talk people, she says. And so the one time where that would really frustrate her is when we would go out to eat, say Chipotle or something like this, and it had happened multiple times at that particular restaurant where we would go, and all I would do, I'm not looking for any handouts or anything, all I would do is strike up conversation. I like to talk to people on the other side of the counter talking to me and serving me, and so it starts usually with, hey, how's your day going? Oh, that's cool. You see their name tag, you say, oh, that's neat, Cole, it's really good to hear that, and you just kind of keep talking to whoever it is, And I do that, and somehow that is translated as sweet talking, and by the time we make it all the way from the meats and the veggies and the extra toppings, and now we get to the cash register, Cole just says, you know what, it's on the house. And I'm like, Cole, you don't have to do that. That's so sweet of you, you know. And Sarah's just looking like, are you serious? And so Cole walks back down the whole counter, and she goes, hey, Cole, it's good to see you. And, you know, trying to talk, they make their way around, and he goes, that'll be $8.50, please. It's happened so many times, and I'm like just standing there like, oh, Cole, you just put me in another argument. You have no idea what you just did. Please give this girl a free meal. She gets upset because it wasn't fair. It wasn't even. And but, I mean, you can't be too upset because ultimately I was always paying for the bill, so it's fine, you know what I mean? But still, it was the principle that I got it free and she didn't. It wasn't even. And I say that because that's kind of one of the issues that we're going to have to face with this text, this psalm, is it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And so now we have to wrestle through that. Well, the blessings in different Christians' lives are not even. And while that story that I just said was, you know, funny and was joking, there are much more serious and heartbreaking scenarios where you would say the same thing. That's not fair, right? I think of someone who's dear in my life that I love very much, and I've seen that in their life, where they would see other people in their lives, and they would say, Isaac, that person over there has everything that I want, and I don't have any of it, and I don't know why, and it has really led them down a very dark and sad path. And it breaks my heart seeing them go down that path. And so we can make jokes talking about the Chipotle line and how $8.50 is not fair, but when you get to that kind of stuff, this text is very hard to swallow. Doesn't it say, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord? So my goal tonight, is to walk through the text, try to understand it the best we can. And then ultimately, I want us to see how God is still good. And he does give good gifts, even if some of the blessings in this life are lacking for some and apparently abundant for others. He is still good and gives good gifts to all of his people. That's the goal that we're going to be looking at as we go through this text tonight. So let's walk through the text. Firstly, we see in verses 1 and 4 this paralleled reality that he says. And the psalmist really gives the roadmap to blessing. And I don't think that's not too far of a stretch. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And then again in verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So the roadmap to blessing, according to the psalmist, is simple. It's fearing the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you will receive blessing. It's one simple step on that roadmap. So what is fearing the Lord? We should look at that briefly. What does it mean to fear the Lord? We want to do that, not just for the sake of blessing, but just in general, we should be God-fearers, whether the blessings come or not. So let's consider, what is fearing the Lord? Well, I think, in very simple terms, I think it means that we know the difference between God and us, and it strikes fear in us. It's that simple. Fear of the Lord comes from knowing the stark difference between God and me. And now I have fear in me. God has a great hate for sin, and I am steeped in that very thing he hates. Steeped to the core in it. Great difference between God and I, and that naturally would strike fear in me. I could see God's unmeasurable great power and my puniness. And that should strike fear as I stand toe-to-toe with God and offend him in sin. That would strike fear in any reasonable person's mind. I think about the analogy that John Piper has used in the past, and I've really like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I like that. He said that he was over at a friend's house, and they walked up to the door, and this friend had this massive dog, this huge dog, big teeth, and he told one of his sons, he said, "Oh, hey, I forgot something in the car. Go run and grab that out of the car if you would." And so his son, listening to him, went, turned, ran to the car. And when he did, the dog that was so sweet and just slobbery, right? You just know those big dogs with the slobbery cheeks. It was just so sweet and loving and kind and cuddly, started bolting after him, barking like crazy. And the kid turns around, this right, probably 5 to 8-year-old kid, just petrified at looking at this massive dog just barreling at his way. And the owner simply said, "Oh, buddy, probably shouldn't run away from him. He doesn't like it when you do that." And he used that to draw an analogy to the fear of the Lord, that God is a loving God, like a cuddly dog, right? Just so kind, though massive, so loving. But he sure hates it when you run away from him. I like that analogy. I think it's a good analogy. We can see in Scripture people who fear the Lord. Jonah didn't, because he ran from God, didn't he? But the people that he found himself with sure did show him what he was lacking, the fear of the Lord. If you look in Jonah chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, this is what it says. "Therefore," and if you know the story, this is where Jonah finds himself on a boat because God said, "Go to Nineveh," and he decided to go the opposite direction, right? And so he gets on this boat with these fishermen, he stows away in the bottom, and they start going, and God, knowing that Jonah is running away from him, God does what that big dog did. He came barreling at him, showing his power, chasing after Jonah. This is what it says. We pick up the story there in Jonah 1, 14. "Therefore they called out," that's the fishermen that were on the boat with Jonah. "The storm is raging," right? The dog is mad and running. "And they yell out to the Lord, 'Oh Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as pleased you.'" And you keep going. "So they picked up Jonah." They knew that Jonah was the one that caused the issue, caused the storm. They cast lots. They saw that it was Jonah who had done this. So they decided, "We have to throw this man overboard because they don't want to die." And they were terrified of the raging storm. They picked up Jonah and they hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. The dog stopped running, right? Then the men feared not the storm anymore. They feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. You see, they were terrified. They were terrified of the storm around them. Just imagine these men that were professional fishermen. They had seen storms in their life, many storms in their life, and they were terrified of this particular one. So this one had to have been exceptionally great. They were terrified of the storm, and yet, you know what scared them more? Was the power of God to stop it like that. And now, they weren't just fearful, but they feared the Lord exceedingly. They had even more fear when the storm stopped. That's the fear of the Lord, to see that God's great power and our puniness toe-to-toe with him. So, if we go back to the text, the psalmist says this is basically the roadmap to blessing. If you would fear the Lord, if you would see his greatness and your puniness, your undeservingness, and his hate for sin, and you would, as the fishermen did, fall on their knees, sacrifice to God, acknowledge his greatness and your undeservingness, when you would respond in that way, you would see blessings in your life, because blessed is the person who fears the Lord. And then the psalmist describes possible blessings that could come. And notice this, it impacts every area of our life, or it could. Firstly, in verse 2, our personal work would be fruitful. You shall eat the fruit of your labor in your hands. So, but not only your personal work, but branch out. The closest companion in your life, your wife, will be fruitful. And you branch out even more. Your children will be plentiful. If you go to the next part of the psalm, verse 5, not only you and your work, or your wife, or your children, but then your community will prosper. It says the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, and then even beyond that, all the generations that will follow you. So the point here is really, all throughout the psalm, is the person who fears the Lord, blessing will surround their life. So let's now consider the elephant in the room. What about the Christians who don't see those tangible blessings, but really think they fear the Lord? What about the Christian who is not well off? Globally. What about the Christians who are suffering and struggling to make ends meet, who are literally dying because of basic needs? I was hearing a preacher, David Platt, talk about how he went to the Himalayas and he saw Christians, people, dying. You know what from? Diarrhea. Yeah, dying from it. People that feared the Lord. So what about those Christians? What do they do about Psalm 128? What about the Christians who fear the Lord, but they can't find a spouse, and they desperately want one? Or they have a spouse that isn't healthy. This psalm says the person that fears the Lord will have a wife that is fruitful. So what about them? What about the God-fearer that can't have children, is barren, or one who has lost a child? All of them might be asking, have I done something wrong in the process of fearing God? We have to acknowledge that. Two ways I think that we can answer that briefly. The first one is through what we would call the prosperity gospel answer. That would be individual spokesmen for it, such as Kenneth Copeland, if you've heard that name, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Paula White, Todd White, Benny Hinn, the Pentecostal preacher, Oral Roberts, maybe you've heard any of these names, and them all coming together to represent what is known as the prosperity gospel, they would give you the answer that, well, yeah, you must not fear the Lord. Yeah, you simply need more faith. You don't have a lot of money. You don't have health and wealth. Yeah, something's wrong with you, they would say. They would say, if you truly feared God, if you truly loved God, then you would have all of these things and more. Well, I want to tell you that first answer is completely wrong. It's evil. It's evil and unbiblical. For two obvious reasons, I probably give more, but firstly, if we look at Scripture, there are heroes of faith all throughout it who feared God and yet suffered great loss, all over the Bible. They didn't have the basic needs. In fact, they died. And yet they feared God. Let me run through a few. David, the one who could have been the one who wrote this psalm, he had a heart after God's own heart, and yet many tried to kill him, including his predecessor and his own son. His very firstborn son was struck down by God. This psalm says, though, if you fear the Lord, your children will be multiplied. So there's something wrong with the prosperity gospel in that, huh? What about John the Baptist? He was the one who baptized God. Right? Pretty big deal. He was prophesied about in the Old Testament, yet he was jailed and he was beheaded, had his head put on a silver platter. What about Paul, who was the great apostle Paul, yet he had no family. None. No family. No wife or kids, as far as we know. And he had a thorn in the flesh that he begged to be removed, yet wasn't, and then he was killed. Put it on top. There's some disconnect here, right? Because I thought everyone who feared the Lord was blessed. The prosperity gospel would say, yeah, you're doing something wrong if you're not. Well, apparently then, David who wrote the psalm, John the Baptist who baptized God, Paul, we're all doing something wrong. And then we could even look at our Lord and Savior must have been doing something wrong because he himself was crucified. So that obviously can't be the answer. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3, God even promises us that we would suffer. He promises that we won't just have an abundant life of health and wealth just because we fear the Lord. No, he says to all who desire to live godly lives in Christ, Jesus will in fact be persecuted. And so we can know that the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel that says yes, if you are seeing suffering, if you are seeing loss, if you are not seeing an abundant of blessing, you're doing something wrong. We can know that is false. It's false. And they're wrong. There's much more to it than that. So instead of that answer, let me give you what I think is the biblical answer to why does God-fearing people still have pain and loss of blessing in this life, when this psalm says that they should have blessings. Well, first, I think there are many good reasons why we could still have lacking in our life. We can lack things in this life. I think there are many reasons why. Let me give two. Firstly, let me say to the person, I just want to speak to you. If you are really feeling like, God, why am I? Why me? I would so desperately like to have X. My heart is broken because I don't have Y. I just want to speak to you really right now. If you're just seeing hurt in your life, you're not understanding why these things are happening to you, let me just speak to you. I think there are good reasons why we could lack in our lives, and it's not just because you don't have enough faith. It's not that. Matthew 5 shows us that sin simply comes because we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. It says God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. We can see that pain and suffering is not tied necessarily to you fearing God or not fearing God, because God rises his sun on the evil and on the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. We live in a fallen world. And I think another reason why we can see lacking in this life is because, as hard as it is for us to swallow, God does know what is best to give to us, for us to receive, and for us not to receive. God knows sometimes what we really want to receive, he knows best not to give to us. And we have to, as hard as it is to understand, must trust God knows better. God knows better than we do. If you go to Job, and you just know the story of Job, most of us, many of us do. If you don't, this man suffered incredible amounts, far more than I think anyone else in this room ever could. And I don't think that's a stretch to say. This man suffered. He had much loss. And at the very beginning of it, he said, well, this was actually after already losing his children, all of his cattle, all of his livestock, everything. He lost all that. And Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord shall take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is Job saying there? Job is saying God knows better. He's the one that gives. He's the one that takes away. Blessed be God because he knows better than me. Said from a suffering man who is lacking many blessings. God does know better. And so, with that being said, just because there's good reasons why we can see pain and suffering in this life for us, does that mean then, let's go back to Psalm 128, does that mean then that this psalm is lying when it promises blessing to all who fear God? Is it just lying then? Is it not true that we really shouldn't expect blessings? It's just a hoax, and if we get some, great. If we don't, well, that's what you get. What's the point of the psalm then? Is it just lying? Well, I think no. I think this psalm is not lying. I don't think anywhere in the Word of God is there a lie. I think that the general principle still stands firm, and you and I can bank on it. And this is the general principle that we can get from the psalm. Those who fear the Lord do have a future and glorious blessing to hope for. We do. You do. You do. And you might not feel it or you might not see it right now, but I promise you, the principle of Psalm 128 is true. Blessed are you if you fear the Lord and you have much to look forward to. And if you go all throughout the psalm, it says, you will, you shall. It's a future promise, not yet received. So in closing, I want to speak to two groups of people. Firstly, to the Christian who isn't suffering much. And I actually find myself in this camp. I'm not going to lie and say, oh, poor little Isaac. No, I find myself in this camp. I haven't suffered greatly in this life like many people I know. God has blessed me. To such individuals that aren't suffering much or aren't lacking, I want to offer a word of caution to you. Not suffering greatly in this life, it is a blessing, and so give thanks to God. Yes, it is a blessing, and I thank God for what He has given me. But not suffering greatly in this life is also very dangerous. When you're constantly way up here, and then that one day, everything crumbles. It's dangerous to never find suffering in your life. And I want to give you a word of caution. Don't grow entitled to always receiving such blessing. You are not entitled to it, and I'm not either. Don't grow entitled. There may be a day coming where you suffer much loss. As we saw in 2 Timothy, it's a promise. That day may be coming very soon or later. We don't know. And when that happens, having a solid theology of suffering is critical for sustaining your faith. So know that you are not entitled to the blessings that you currently have. None of us are. To the Christian, though, to you who are fearing God but are discouraged with the lacking of blessing that's in your life, I want to offer you comfort tonight. I want to offer you comfort. Even just speaking to people this week broke my heart to people saying, I just don't understand. And I just want to speak to those people. Firstly, God really does know best. I've already said that. God really does know best. And just cling to that promise. I encourage you to do that. No matter how hard it is to see how in the world this, what you're going through is best, trust that it is. Secondly, I want to give you the comfort that the sure blessing of life that you have, the promise of life in Christ that you have, will always be infinitely better than any health or wealth given to you right now. I promise you, it's infinitely better. In Psalm 103, we see the true benefits of the Lord. And they don't rust with time. They don't rust with time. It says, forget not all the Lord's benefits. Well, what are the Lord's benefits? Who forgives all your iniquities. That's a benefit of the Lord. Who heals all your diseases. Eternally, I promise that will happen. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. These promises don't die. They're eternal. Your promise of life and blessing of life is far greater than any health or wealth that you could ask for now. So therefore, don't compare yourself with others who have what you don't. Their riches will fade away, and those good things have a lifespan. But your blessing goes beyond measure in knowing Christ. I like the quote from Phil Johnson that says, some Christians miss the hors d'oeuvres. You know what that is, like the small little snacks at the beginning of the meal. Some Christians miss the hors d'oeuvres, but none miss the banquet. It's true. It's a fun little thing. Last encouragement to you. What He chooses to give or not give makes no impact on whether or not He is worthy for you to fear Him. So I encourage you, fear Him nonetheless. And I encourage everyone here, fear the Lord, not because you receive certain blessings from Him, but because it is right to fear Him, and He is worthy of fear. And then trust His judgment on whether or not you receive, or what you receive in this life. Trust His judgment on that. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, we thank You for the blessings that You do graciously give. We thank You for, Lord, everything that You give us because we know we don't deserve any of them. We thank You for those, and we trust Your wisdom with the things that You do not give us. You know better, Lord. Regardless of what we receive, Lord, we will fear Your name. We choose to worship You. We choose to fear you. Lord, those who don't this evening, I pray that you would open their eyes to see who you are and who they are, and when that grow fear within them, and fear that leads to worship. I pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.